the book of Acts, chapter 4. We continue our study in desiring God. At the first of the year, or just after the first of the year, we begin desiring God, seeking those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Then we went from just the desire to God to desiring God through our prayers. You know, if you truly want to know God, you're going to have a prayer life. Now we're focusing upon the Word of God. If you want to know God, you've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to get over that mentality of just studying because I'm supposed to study, or read the Bible because I'm supposed to read the Bible. That will not last, right? You've got to read the Bible because you want to know who God is. You want to know who Jesus is. And so that's our motivation. And we continue today with this study in the Word. And the title of the message is Be Bold in the Word, from the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And we're going to stand one more time. I know you've stood a lot today, but I'm going to preach a long time today. So you're going to really be thankful for this stretch I'm giving you before we start. Hopefully not really, okay? Hopefully it'll be normal. But every once in a while, preachers get carried away. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man whom had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punishing them because of the people, since all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went out to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you today, asking for you to open our eyes and our understanding into your word. Father, give us insight that we may know you. And not only that we may know you, but that we may share with others what we know about you. Father, we pray for boldness. Boldness, Lord, to speak of you publicly and to share our faith publicly. Now, Lord, this is your service. We commend this service to you. I pray your will be done. You move freely among all that's present. Convict of sin. Encourage those who are discouraged. Lift up those who are downtrodden. And Lord, just move freely among us and that we may experience your mighty hand today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we answer the question as we continue our study, why get in the Word? Number one, so that we may know God. Number two, so that we may share with the world who God is. Now, you understand, you've heard before, I'm sure, that you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. That's kind of the idea, or that is the idea of this message today. You will be the only Bible or the only Word of God that some people in this world will hear. And if there's one thing people need to hear, they need to hear about who God is. What God has for them. And that's why we are here. But the first question we've got to answer today, because when you start telling people, well, you need to share Jesus with others, you need to share what you know about Jesus with others, the first thing they're going to say, oh, it scares me to death. Oh, I'm just not qualified. So first thing we're going to do is answer the question, are you qualified to share the Word of God? How many would say, I am prepared and qualified to share the Word of God? Don't raise your hand. Because it would be embarrassing if you did, right? Not very many would. Because we have this thought that, you know, that's for preachers. That's for pastors. And yes, preachers and pastors should share the Word of God. However, it's not limited to preachers and pastors. You see, these guys that are sharing the Word of God that we just read about, Peter and James, this all started when they were entering, Peter and John. This all started when they were entering the temple area. And there was a lame man that was daily left there in the temple area, and he would beg for donations from people as they would enter that area. Well, Peter and John experienced that man one day as he reached out to them and asked for a donation from them. And you remember what John said in chapter 3? He said, silver and gold. Or it's chapter 4, silver and gold I don't have. But that which I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk. And so this man who had been lame from his birth was given strength in his legs, and he gets up and he walks. Of course, everyone in that crowd saw this man every day when they would come into the temple. And so everyone now sees this man walking around, that there has been a tremendous miracle that has occurred. And so they want to find out what is going on. What happened to this man? And so automatically Peter and John has an audience. And what do they do with the audience? They basically preach Jesus. Now I want you to understand, in the part that we read, these people who are standing against Peter and John and the disciples, this is the Sanhedrin. This is the high court of the Jewish religious system. If there was an authority among the Jews that day, these guys were it. And so they've been listening. They know that a miracle has occurred. And they've been listening to Peter and John preach. And you know what they noticed about Peter and John as they preached? They said, these guys must have their doctorate degree because they are so very smart. Oh, wait a minute. That's not in there, is it? No, it's not. You know what they notice about Peter and John? There in verse 13, it says, they perceived that they were what? Uneducated and untrained men. So, we immediately know that the qualifications that Peter and John had was not because they were extremely educated or they had a diploma on the wall, right? As a matter of fact, if you had a religious question, these were not the guys you would go to. If you had a church in that day and you were having revival, these are not the guys you would have called to come and preach revival and fire everybody up. These were not those guys. These were fishermen? Are you kidding me? I mean, They're not even blue collar. They're not even white collar. They don't have some professional job. They don't look important. They don't act important. They're nobodies. They're fishermen. They're a tax collector. They're just plain old guys. Who are they to walk around and share what they know about Jesus and share the word of it? Who do they think they are? I'm glad you asked that question. Go back to verse 13. It says, and they realized, they being the Sanhedrin, they realized that what? They had been with who? Jesus. They had been with Jesus. So the question is, if you want to know if you have qualifications to share what you know about God, if you want to know if you're qualified to do that, here's what you have to answer. Have you been with Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, most of you here would say something like, well, yeah, Brother Doug, I did that when I was a young man. I called upon Jesus, made Him the Lord of my life, and I know I'm going to heaven. Listen, if you know that, you just became a candidate to share with the world who Jesus Christ is. Get this. God is not looking for experts. He's not. I know there are a lot of people who play the religious game. That's what the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the scribes and all that group, you know, they played a good game. But in reality, you go back into the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know the people that God used. People like Abraham, you know what Abraham was? He was a nomad wanderer. A shepherd. David. You know who David, King David? God did not call King David because he was king. David was the youngest of the brothers, so he was the least respected. And he was the kid they sent out to keep the sheep in the field while everybody else was doing important stuff. But see how God used King David? People, again, like the disciples, Peter was a fisherman and he preached on the day of Pentecost. And how many were added to the church? Glory to God, 3,000, and it just exploded from there. So here's what I want you to understand. Don't say, I'm not qualified. If you know Jesus Christ, you are qualified to share who He is. See, that's the ideal with the Word. That's why we desire God, because we want to share God. Oh, and if there's one thing this world needs, it's God. So when you think, next time you think, well, you know, I'm just not qualified. I don't know enough. Listen, God's not looking for experts. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Right? I hope you kept your Bibles open because we're going to use them today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. This is the scripture that always makes me feel so good. You want to know who God uses? This is a perfect description. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now let's make it verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the, what is that word? The foolish. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in His presence. So you want to be used of God? You don't need diplomas. You don't need acceptance of men. Because God just uses plain, old, ordinary people like you and like me to bring glory to His name and to share who He is. See, that's the first thing. You've got to answer the question, am I qualified? If you have been with Jesus, you are qualified. Second thing, you have to expect opposition when you share the Word of God. If you'll notice, the Sanhedrin sent these boys out. Peter and John said, y'all go out, we got to talk this over. And when they talked among themselves, they said, look guys, we cannot deny that there has been a major miracle that has occurred here. This man that was healed, we all knew he was lame. He's been sitting there at the temple gate for years, all of his life. We know, and now he's walking. God has done something mighty here. However, so that they teach no more in the name of Jesus, let's threaten them real good. Let's tell them if they continue to tell the world about Jesus and if they continue to do that, we're going to get them. So they brought them back in and threatened them. And after they threatened them, Peter and John said, well, should we listen to you or to God? That's the question. Don't be surprised when the world says you should not talk about Jesus publicly. Don't be surprised. We've heard that for years now, right? How many of you have been told, well, you know, it's not appropriate to bring Jesus into the schools. It's not appropriate to bring Jesus into the workplace. It's not appropriate to display Bible verses on public ground. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. You know, it's the same call that was going on in the days of the apostles here, saying, don't preach this Jesus. So the first thing you know is, hey guys, if the world says it's not appropriate for you to share Jesus here, you just know you're in good company. You're in company of the apostles. You're in the company of Paul, the apostle. You're in the company of Jesus. Should make you feel good, shouldn't it? But you have to answer the question, should we listen to you, to the world, or to God? We have a great commission. We have been told, go therefore into all the world, baptizing all the world, every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have a command. We call it the Great Commission. That's our marching orders. Listen, you don't have to be an expert to tell people about God. But here's what you have to know. That what the world needs is God. Right? Oh, there are so many issues to be addressed in the world today. Bless their heart, they're trying to fix the issues with things like politics and education and all that. And all that's fine. But bottom line is, the Word of God is the answer to every problem that the world faces today. Every problem. You know, we talk about racism. And sure, racism is wrong. It doesn't matter. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in His sight. I don't care if you're purple, you know? But what's the answer? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's out of here. It doesn't matter. All the other stuff, you just love people. It doesn't matter if they're purple people, green people, blue people. Just love people. That's in here. And you know, if that was the motto of everyone, every American, there would be no such thing as racism. We'd be too busy loving people. You know? There's the answer. Are you concerned about the plagues? Not even going to go through the plague, but sickness. Preached a few weeks ago, if my people shall humble themselves and call upon God, confess their sins, I will heal their land. That's comes out of here. You want to fix the country? It's in here. Are you concerned about the war today? I've heard people say, well, what's the significance, the end time significance of Russia and Ukraine? Here's the end time significance. Matthew 24. There should be wars and rumors of wars. The closer we get to the end, the more we're going to see it. That's what's happening. What I want you to understand is the world needs answers that make sense. So much of the stuff going on today makes no sense.
Y'all know. But never mind, I'm not even going there today.
How will the world know? How will the world know Jesus saves? How will the world know what the answer is to our problems of violence and everything in the country? How are the world? That's us. That's you. That's me. Listen, I'm not. You know, we get to thinking of witnessing to people. We get to thinking of standing on a street corner and say, "Everybody's going to hell." No. I'm not saying run people off. I'm saying share with them the message of Jesus. That's what they need. Share with them. Love your neighbor. Share with them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because Romans 10:14, turn over there with me if you would. Romans 10:14. How shall they call on Him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things. Had a church member one time ask Beth if she ever gave me foot rub, because the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. I'm still holding my breath for the foot rub. I want you to understand that's not just talking to preachers. That's talking to all of us, bringing good news to the world. Bringing news that's not hate and bitterness, but bringing news to the world that's helpful. That's the Word of God. Right? That's what the world needs to hear. And they're not going to hear if we don't do that. It's our responsibility. Listen, we're all preachers. Okay? And I know this message today is mainly for saved people, but I want you to understand, we're all preachers. Right? We're not all pastors, but we're all preachers. And if you're not letting people around you know how awesome your God is, then you're not doing them right. You're not doing them right. Because how will they believe without a preacher? Third thing, last thing. They receive the threats. And what did they do? I love this part. And verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own companions. You know who their own companions are? The church. They go to the church, their own companions, and reported all that the chief priest and the elders said to them. They go and say, guys, this is getting scary. I mean, we saw them crucify Jesus. Now it's getting personal. They're coming after us now. Getting a little nervous here. And you know what the church did? Verse 24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now go over to verse 27. I'm sorry, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. First thing we notice, the church became in one accord. They all got on the same page. They decided what's important and what's not. Buildings weren't important. Feelings weren't important. Wants and desires weren't important. What was important was that the Word of God be declared to a people who needed to hear it. That was what. And so everybody got focused and says, Lord, we're being threatened. And if you'll notice, they didn't pray, oh Lord, keep them from, don't let them hurt us. Lord, don't let them physically throw us into prison. They didn't address that. They just prayed, Lord, help us by giving us boldness that your word may be proclaimed. Because that, my friends, was the important part. And it's at this point you have to understand the power of prayer. You know, I want to tell you something. God is working at victory. People are praying at victory. Right now we've got a prayer team that's praying for the services while the services are going on. I thank the Lord for those people. Because one thing I'm sure of, their prayers are more important than my preaching. You have to understand the power of prayer. Do you want to be a witness? Wouldn't you like to be free to share Jesus Christ openly? Matthew 7, chapter 7 and verse 7. You have to understand, when it comes to doing the work of the Lord, we have been given a blank check. This isn't name it, claim it stuff. This isn't I'll give $10 and God will make me. This is not what this is dealing with. This is dealing with the ministry, the mission that God has put us on this earth to do. By the way, I'm not a name it and claim it kind of guy, right? I think your prayers better line up with God. And it's not about what I can get. It's about what I can give to the glory of God. But in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look at this blank check that we're given. Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You see the promise there? You want to be bold in your testimony of the Lord? Ask, seek, knock. And God says, I'll give it to you. He didn't stop there. John 14:13. Same thing, basically. John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, not name it, claim it. When you put that in my name, asking in my name, it has to be something relating to the approval of God, right? But I want you to understand, as a church, these are promises we hold as a church. And these are promises God has made to us. Second thing I want you to understand is what boldness really is. They prayed for boldness. Boldness, when we think of boldness, we think that just means you've got a big mouth and you can hurt everybody's feelings, right? That's not what it means. Boldness is an attitude of openness that stems from a lack of fear. That means I can be open and truthful in spite of threats designed to make me afraid. That's what boldness is. You know, I've heard preachers say and talk about, well, you know, I just speak the truth and tell it like it is.
I'm not a fan of tell it like it is, because that just kind of draws the attention that you're some kind of big shot. And we're not big shots. It's our job to share the truth. Sometimes when we share the truth of the Word of God, we become threatened. The world says, I don't want to hear it. The world says, it's not appropriate for you to share here. And you start to feel like an outcast of society. you want to break up a gathering and put the preacher in the middle of him and let him talk about Jesus, right? Boldness is having the courage to act over and above the fear that the world tries to instill in you. Shouldn't we all be praying for that? How many times have you thought, boy, I need to share a Bible verse here, but you've been too afraid? I need to share Jesus with this individual, but you've been afraid. You know, I don't want to offend him, or I don't want to offend their family. They've been friends for a long time. Listen, they need to know Jesus. And here's the thing. If they spend eternity in hell, do you think they'll say, boy, I sure am glad they never offended me when I was on earth by telling me about Jesus? No. They're going to say, why didn't Doug tell me about Jesus? Why didn't Michael? Why didn't Wade? Why didn't Ken? Why didn't we tell them about Jesus? Here's the glorious part. If you're going to share the Word of God, and you're going to pray that God helps you to be bold and share, even though it makes you a little nervous, here's what happens. Verse 31. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. I love that part. See, here's the part that we don't focus on too much, because, you know, we're Baptist and we're all straight laced and we sit up straight. We don't want to get too excited because we don't want anybody to think we're all this holy roller stuff. Let me tell you. Verse 31, the place was shaken. What does that tell me? I don't know what that felt like, but I want to tell you what, they knew God was there. Don't we need a little shaking today? Not only was the place was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's where we get kind of defensive of being Baptist. We don't get too wild on us, Brother Doug. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit still fills. And the Holy Spirit is still powerful enough to move people, including you, including me. These are things that we need to be praying for, because these are things that will give us the boldness, the courage to speak out in a world that needs to hear. And look what happened. And they spoke the Word boldly. Challenge of the week. Most everyone here, if not everyone here, has Bible knowledge. None of us know this book from cover to cover. None of us. Matter of fact, the more I study, the more I realize, man, I don't know nearly as much as I should. But I'm going to tell you, if all you know is Jesus saves, share that with people. If all you know is ask Jesus to save you, share that with people. Because God's not looking for experts. He's looking for people who's just willing to share the love of God with other people. Right? One thing I know. This is the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and it is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You don't have to rely on yourself. You don't have to rely on your ability to recall and quote Scripture. You know, some people are good at that. They can just quote Scripture. Some people are not. You don't have to rely on your ability. All you have to do is rely on the God of the Bible, and you be bold enough to share what you know with the people around you. That's the challenge of the week. Share Jesus. Share what you know. The world needs to hear. We're living in unsettled times, and we've been living in unsettled times. The world needs good news. And you're not going to get it on Fox, CNN, or any of the other news stations. The good news is going to come from the Bible. Okay? And we're bearers of the good news. Maybe you're here. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share this. All right? Heaven is real. Heaven is real. Jesus has prepared a place eternal in the heavens for those who place their faith and their trust in Him. Right? But if heaven is real, hell is also real. And if you reject Jesus Christ, hell is your eternity. Oh, Brother Doug, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. The good news is, there's heaven. The bad news is, you sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you're not going to heaven. But let's go back to the good news. The good news is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. That means everyone. You know, I've heard people say, well, Brother Doug, I'm just too bad. God can never save me. No, you're not too bad. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. That's you. That's you. But you got to come. You got to come to Jesus. Are you saved? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation. And I'm going to ask you to come forward and let me show you in the Word of God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This invitation is for you. Maybe you're here, you know somebody that's in your life that you need to pray for. The altar's open. Maybe you're here, the Lord, and the Lord's convicting you. You need to rededicate your life. Make that commitment. Come for church membership, come for baptism, whatever God leads you to do. But come if God's dealing with you. Heavenly Father, this is your service. We lay it at your feet, and I pray your will be done. Help us, Lord, to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Not to be offensive, but to be bold. And share with the world the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news. Father, I pray for those in this service today who need to make a move. Whether it be for salvation, for baptism, for church membership, for rededication, whatever, Lord, they need. I pray that they'll make that move today. I pray that everything done would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.